Hey, how are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, it's Idealab time, and today is something very different. This is a podcast I did not want to make, but it was only when my wife said it to me. I said, I really don't want to make that one. I don't think I can. That she said, well, that's probably why you should. This is a very serious topic. I'll just give a trigger warning for people. This will discuss mental health, it will discuss miscarriages, and it will discuss suicide. So if any of those topics do trigger you, this probably is not the episode for you. I'm going to discuss my own personal journey. I'm not going to speak about it from an expert point of view because that is exactly what I am not. I'll give you my personal journey, but if that is not for you, come back in a few days. We'll have something more business related for you. This is quite a personal podcast, and I do realize that it's not for everybody. It's also a commercial podcast, so I do have messages from my sponsors, which I'll put in now, but I just feel it's important to warn you before I start this podcast what it's going to be about. So here's a quick message from my sponsors, and we'll be right back. Today's episode is presented in association with Square. Over 4 million companies, from local shops to international chains, use Square to take payments, manage staff, and do business in-store and online. For almost everything your business needs, visit square.com. Square International Limited Trading as Square is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. I've got a massive ambition for this podcast. I want to make this the number one business podcast in the world. If I'm going to do that, I've got to be world class on every single level. And that includes having a world class studio, which I now have at iconic offices, The Green Room. It's an incredible space. I first recorded here with my live pod back in June and I loved it. And get this, it's publicly bookable. That means you can go online and book it right now. As I said, it's called The Green Room. It's a private cinema and screening room. That means it's perfect to wow a client with a pitch, host a private screening, or do what I do, record a podcast here. So, as I record here, and as you know, I'm a member of Iconic Offices, I've got the team at Iconic Offices to hook us up with a number of exclusive complimentary office trials and discounts for my audience for booking this exact space. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description, grab the offer that works best for you. Thanks, Iconic Offices. The Wealth Summit is on the RDS on November 15th. It's for entrepreneurs, business owners, and those that aspire to be. If you're at the startup, scale-up, or sell-up stage of the entrepreneurial journey, then the Wealth Summit is for you. Learn how to build personal and business balance sheets through business growth strategies and build out critical paths to financial independence. Join Stephen Bartlett, Niall Quinn, Mandy Hickson, Tom Gannon, and 30 other speakers for a day of empowerment, motivation, education, growth, and networking. And we have an exclusive offer for listeners of the pod. For €150 plus VAT, you're going to get a discounted Access All Areas ticket, which also gives you access to the Wealth Tribe lunch, and it gives you a free masterclass on November 16th on how you can actually implement AI into your business. It doesn't even end there. The first 10 people to sign up by September 15th will get a ticket to the 10X Growth Camp in Luttrellsound Castle on September 29th, where you'll deep dive into business growth strategies, financial growth strategies, and AI implementation for growth. So click the link below to avail of this incredible offer. So World Mental Health Day was yesterday, and it's always quite a hard day for me, which is quite ironic. Because it's also the week in which my friend committed suicide 2 years ago. And it's kind of a cruel twist of irony that it would happen on the same day. And I feel a lot of people hijack mental health for content and clicks, which honestly disgusts me. So that's why I don't do a lot of content around it. I talk about it openly. I talk about my own mental health openly. But I do feel a lot of people commercialize it, you know, especially, you know, people will use it for like, oh, it's World Mental Health Day, I'm taking the staff for a walk. You know, that's not really what mental health day should be about. Every day should be a mental health day. You should be looking after yourself and other people 365. It's not something that you do once a year where you send your mate a message, go, oh, just checking in. That's not what it's about. So for me, I'm just going to discuss what the last 3-4 years have been like for me on my mental health journey, because it has been quite the journey and a lot has gone on. For context, I have given the warning earlier. So the last kind of 3 years have been quite a challenge for me and my wife. And we went through 3 years of miscarriages. So we had two miscarriages, one of them quite well into the pregnancy, and that was extremely devastating for both of us. And it was during COVID as well, so there was a double whammy there. We were trying to cope with what COVID was. My business had effectively closed overnight, so there was just kind of this barrage of things that had happened simultaneously. And mentally, that was exceptionally difficult. So we engaged a counsellor to help us through that. And that was one of those moments in my life that I look back on and go, that was fundamental to everything that followed next, because that was really like releasing pressure valve. And we were doing it by Zoom. It was really bizarre. We were doing it on our couch during Zoom. And it really was a testament to her skill and her ability as a counsellor and as a person that she was able to bring us through that. So we had one miscarriage quite far advanced, and that was followed then a couple, 6 to 9 months later, by a simultaneous one. And then 2 years ago, my friend passed away by suicide. So all those things together took an enormous toll on my mental health. And it's really only now that I'm beginning to deal with it and kind of like not come out the other side, because I really don't think you come out the other side of things like that. I think they shape you and change you. I think you evolve as a person from them. I think you can do one of two things. You can bury them down deep and hope they never come out to haunt you, which inevitably they will at the worst possible time. Or you can kind of try to force them into the open and deal with them head on, which is what I've tried to do. So I'll kind of talk you through kind of what I've found have worked. I cannot stress this enough. I am not a mental health expert. Everything I'm saying to you today is from my own experience. So please do not take this as expert advice. You know, take it for what it is. It's just one person sharing their story with another person, and use it to maybe equip yourself, or use it just to kind of see signs, or even use it to help other people. You might see other things in other people. And I think that's an important one to start with. You know, people say, oh, just check in on each other. That's very well and good. But you have to have a very close and open relationship with a lot of people. I think in Ireland, we're very much a case of, how are you getting on? Grand now, and yourself? Grand. And that is the extent of how we talk about things with each other, which we laugh about. But it's only, you know, it's only those truly close to you that you can open up to. And I think we need to be a little bit more open. So for me, I've just tried to just cut out all the bullshit, cut out all the fakeness, and cut out all the veneer. Just say what you mean. Say what you mean and mean what you say. I think that just, even that alone is freeing, that when you're like truly honest with people, people aren't going to judge you. And if they do, they're the people you cut from your circle. You need to surround yourself with people who are on the same journey as you and are on the same mission as you. And I've spoken about this recently. My circle is really, really broad, but my core circle is quite small, because they're people who really are there when it's good, when it's bad, when it's just an average Wednesday. They're the people that matter. So for me, in the last couple of years, going through counseling and trying to deal with that, I subsequently engaged another counselor just individually on myself, to work on myself, because 10 months ago we had our baby girl Willow, and having her made me, and I started this just before, it made me realize that you need to be building all the time. You need to do it when times are good, so that when times do get bad, you're not suddenly stuck in the mire and you suddenly have no idea of where to go and what to do. And I take an approach to it. It's like training. It's like training your body. You need to train your brain also, because I think in the world in the last couple of years, we really haven't processed what went on. Like, it was mental. Like, it was absolutely mad what happened, everybody. And like, now people are even afraid to talk about it. It's like Beetlejuice. People are afraid to say it in case it appears in front of them again. You really need to process that and come up with tools and ways of viewing the new world. So for me, engaging a counselor has been incredibly powerful, and it's just doing the work. Like, it's like, you know, a lot of people listen to this are business people. You know, if you do the work and you do the work every single day, it's almost impossible not to get better, not to win. It's almost impossible if you turn up every day and do the work. And that's how I look at my mental health now. You know, I think a lot of us look at mental health and, you know, when things get bad, oh, he's having a bad old spell, you know, and life will be tired. And I've spoke about this in the pod about life is in seasons, and we love spring, and we love summer, and we love winter. And, you know, it's like the phrase, into every life a little rain must fall. And that's true. You know, it's just the way life is, right? You're going to have good times and bad times. And sometimes when you're having a bad time, it can be compounded by two or three more times on top of each other. So for me, engaging in counselor was incredibly important. And the fundamental lesson they have taught me, and if you take nothing away from today's podcast, this is what I would try to get you to take away, is boundaries. Having boundaries and clear boundaries with people and with yourself as to what you will accept and what you will not, and how you communicate that with people. Because you don't get what you deserve, you get what you accept. So if you accept poor behavior, if you accept people that treat you poorly, if you accept bad situations and you accept putting yourself in these bad situations on repeat, and you keep wondering, why does this keep happening to me? So if you ever ask yourself that question, oh, just this thing just keeps happening. It's like, you know, it's like, I'll try to keep this as light as possible because it's an incredibly heavy topic. But, you know, it's like the Simpsons meme, like, stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself, Milhouse. It's like that. You're doing it to yourself. So you don't get what you deserve. You get what you accept. So if you accept behavior like that, well, people will treat you like that. So having exceptionally clear boundaries, and then you know exactly where you stand. The people I dislike most in the world, the people I avoid most in the world, are the people where you never know what's going on. You never know if they're going to be good today, bad tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. You know, I'd rather people be blunt and be clear. And when you're clear and honest with people, you have to be clear and honest with yourself. And that's where it all starts with. So for me, it was kind of clearing out these things called blockages. And this was kind of another big learning I had. We all have these blockages in our head, right? And they're in our head, but they're in our lives, right? They're these things you just haven't dealt with. They're the stuff that's, you know, that stuff at the back of your mind. You know, when you wake up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, it's still and it's quiet. And just those things that are at the back of your head. And I'm not talking about stupid little things like, oh, I forgot to email back John about the accounts. Not that. The big stuff. The big stuff that's at the back of your head. That stuff just stays there. But when you put it out in front of you, and I see it in front of me now, when I see the things in front of me, I go, they're the three blockages I must clear. And taking a long-term view on it, going, I don't need to clear them today, but I just have to put the elephant out in the room, deal with it, be open and honest with myself. And they're much deeper than you think. All this stuff is much deeper than you think. I'm not going to go into like, it starts with your childhood. But a lot of it is pretty deep, right? A lot of it is deep-rooted and stuff you bury down deep. You've put it in the old emotional lockbox, thrown it to the bottom of the cellar and hoping it won't come calling. So you really need to just put it out into the open. I'm not saying broadcast it on a podcast, but I'm just saying mentally, just write it down on a page. Write down a list of the things that are bothering you. And write down a list in a week and see what are the big ones that are still there with you. But these are the big things that have been working for me. Like, none of this is immediate though. This has been a 2 to 3 year journey whereby I've had great days, I've had bad days, but it's starting to come good. And it's starting to come good because I've done the work. You know, it's like doing the exam or it's like building the business. You do the work and eventually you'll get back out. So if you're complicit in the mediocrity, if you're complicit in all this behavior that you don't like, then you're just going to keep getting it. So like, I only have two modes now when I'm chatting to people, like in my head. I don't say it to them directly going, all right, I have two modes, which one are you going to be? But when I listen to other people's conversations, if you're in the sauna, if you're having a coffee, if you're in a restaurant, a lot of it is moaning. A lot of it is just complaining. So number one, I don't really hang out with people that moan and complain all the time because they're just not my kind of people. But number two, if someone has a problem, I'll say, right, do you need to solve this or are you just trying to vent? Because venting is fine. Sometimes you just need to talk things through. You know the answer yourself already. You just need someone else to help you get there. That's okay. But if that happens the second time, I'm like, okay, we spoke about this before. Are we going to try to solve this? Because I just really have no time in my life, and neither should you, in your mental bandwidth for people that are just bringing you down, that just like to complain about how bad things are. So I have a principles document. Going really into the weeds here now. I have a principles document about how I try to live my life. What kind of person I want to be, what kind of husband, what kind of father, what kind of friend. and I have certain things in there that just remind me, and I look at it, not every day, but maybe every week, and I look at it and I look at certain things, and I'm like, one of them is, avoid people who have the problem for everything but the solution to nothing. So avoid people that have the problem for everything but the solution to nothing. Oh, this is terrible, this is bad. Like, the budget's a perfect example. People love moaning about things, and I have a rule. Here's another framework I use for keeping my mental health strong. I try never to complain about things that I have no control over. If I have control over it, I will try to fix it. If I have no control over it, I'll try to come to terms with it and let it go. Because complaining about things you have no control over, it's like the weather. I stop talking to people about the weather. If it's sunny, put on your sunglasses. If it's raining, put on a bloody jacket. Just don't complain about it. What's the weather like with you there today? I don't care. There's so many more important things in my life. The clock is ticking on us all. And when you realize that, you need to stop waiting to live, right? And I've been the biggest, that's been one of my biggest problems, procrastination, letting things slide. And if you've listened to the pod a lot, you'll know I talk about focus. 2023 is my year of focus. Focus on things that are important. Because I've been trying to work my way through this to figure out, how do I focus and avoid procrastination? Because, again, it's the stop waiting to live thing. So for the last 10 months, I've just stopped waiting to live. I've done everything that I've wanted to do in terms of, I've ate clean. I've worked out 5 times a week. I've put my family first. I've stopped looking to others to solve my problems. Stop looking to others to fix your future. Stop looking to others to give you the answer. Like, again, not to sound like a walking cliche, but the answers are inside you. But not like that. But like, you need to figure it out for yourself. That's the honest answer, right? You know, there's a lot of kind of like mumbo jumbo around about, you know, look within and the answers shall emerge. You got to do the work, right? You got to look at yourself and be honest with yourself, because we're the easiest person in the world to fool. We're the person that we can lie to the easiest. You know, you can just kind of go, ah, look, next month, next year, whatever it is, I'll fix it then. I'll worry about it then. And we look for instant fixes. We look for things that are fast fixes. And I've been guilty of this as well. I just want to feel better now. And I'll do meditation for like 3 days. Oh, hasn't worked. I'll journal for 3 days. Oh, hasn't worked. You know, everything compounds. Everything compounds. So over the last 3 years, bad things have compounded and good things have compounded. But when you realize, when you take a step back and you look at the last month, the last 3 months, that's why I'm such a planning nerd. Because it's all rooted in having good behaviors that lead to good fitness, good health, good mental health, and good relationships. Because everything compounds. Your relationships compound. So for example, in my relationship with my wife, we've worked hard on our communication. Because when we went through the 2 miscarriages, it was horrific. Because you're stuck in this bubble, literal bubble, a COVID bubble, just with yourselves, and you just really don't know what to do. You don't know what to say to each other, so you say nothing. You know, one person wants to talk about it, the other person doesn't want to talk about it, and you're just in this nightmare of, like, you just can't process it. You can't actually speak about it, or if you do, you don't know what to say. So for us, and for me in particular, it's about learning how to communicate again, and how to communicate well, and not just say, oh, I'm grand now, how are you? Oh, I'm grand, yeah. Been able to actually openly communicate, and there's a couple of things we do. So again, this sounds like I run a company at home, but like, we'll have a weekly family meeting whereby we just sit down, and this gets rid of like the crap. This is like flushing the system. This gets rid of all the niggly things that you want to talk about, like, oh, we never booked your man to fix the roof. Oh, we never did this. All the stuff, you know, if you're lying in bed at night and your partner turns to you and is like, here, did you call the plumber? You're like, I'm trying to go to sleep. Why did you remind me? I forgot to call the plumber. So this is not the safe space. That makes it sound very dramatic. This is the arena in which to like put down it all on paper, and we just throw it all out there, so that then we're talking to each other during the week. It's about proper stuff. It's about real life stuff. And then once a month, we'll have what's called a life breakfast or a life dinner. And that is just literally, we take each other, I suppose you'd call it like a date day or a date night. We take each other to a nice restaurant, and we have like a beautiful brunch or a beautiful dinner. And we just talk about the month, talk about what's happened, What's been good? What's been bad? You know, what are you thinking? What are you really feeling right now? How are you feeling about everything? How are you feeling about what's exciting about this month? What are you looking forward to? Like, how often do we actually do that with the people most important to us in our lives? Pretty rarely. Like, you talk to each other all the time, but how often do you openly talk to each other about, as you would to, like, you know, your close friend or the lads or whoever it is? How often do you kind of go, this is how excited I am about this? And they're the people we're closest to, but often they're the people who actually are in the dark the most, because you don't fully admit everything. You don't obviously just give each other that time and that respect. So the life breakfast and life dinner have been so powerful in our relationship, and they're really, really something really important. So for me then, one other thing that I've kind of really learned, and this has been a recent one, is that I used to get stressed a lot every day about, like, just big picture stuff. Where am I going? What's all, especially after COVID, you know, what's going to happen? Where am I going to go? How am I going to get to be the success that I want to be? How am I going to build the businesses that I want? You know, be the person I want to be. And the one thing that's really helped me has been zoom out and zoom in. So zoom out and make big plans for, like, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year. You'll hear me talking about this quite a bit on the pod, because it really has helped me. So I'll make plans for the quarter of the year, I'll make plans for the year, I'll make plans for 3, 5, and 10. And then I'll just have them on a document, and I'll be able to look at them and go, this is where I'd like to go. And they'll change, which is fine, but it gives me a destination, and it makes me stop thinking every day about it. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to be when I grow up? And there's power in that, by just putting it out on paper and going, I never actually realized that I'd love to write a book. I never realized that I'd love to, like, go live in Spain for 2 months. You might have had a vague idea, but just by, there's power in putting things down. Visualization and manifestation and all that crack gets a bad rap, because a lot of it is very woo-woo. I always say, like, visualization is powerful, but people forget the second part of visualization, which is visualize what you want and then do the bloody work. People obviously often forget the second step. They're like, red Ferrari, red Ferrari, red Ferrari. Then they forget they got to grind like hell to get the red Ferrari. But there is a power in having a map and a plan for yourself. And it can change, and it will change, and it should change, and that's okay. But it stops me thinking every day about it. So zoom out, look at the big picture. What do we really want here? Like 1, 3, 5, 10 year plan. And then zoom in. Zoom in and just be in the day. And attack every day with intensity, attack every day with power, and attack every day with the confidence, because you're not trying to figure everything out all the time. And that has really helped me. That's one little framework that I would definitely recommend to try, because zoom out, zoom in. And when you zoom in, don't worry about zooming out anymore. Don't look at it again for another week, or don't look at it again even to the end of the month. That is what's helped me. That's been a lot to kind of, like, talk about over the last nearly 20 minutes now, but I hope that's been helpful in some way, because that's been my journey, and it's been a bit of a whistle stop tour. It hasn't quite been that logical. It's been an absolute mess in parts, to be honest. There was probably an entire year there after Pat passed away that I just really couldn't make any progress. I just was going nowhere, and I tried a lot of things, and to be honest, it really does come down to doing the work. It comes down to just trying to figure yourself out and figure out what it is that you need to do, and then doing the work. And the last kind of 12 months, to be honest, again, this is a bit of a cliche, but as you get older, you kind of realize all the cliches tend to be true. Since we've had Willow, and the months leading up to her, that really fixed my focus in terms of, right, this is what you need to do. And this will sound weird, but you need to be a bit selfish. You know when they say in the plane, you know, put your mask on first and then tend to the people beside you? That's very important, and that's something that isn't really talked about, because, oh, you know, I die for my family and put your family first. The people that say that are generally full of shit. they're the people. The people are broadcasting how good they are at doing all that kind of stuff. How good I am to my partner, how good I am to my kids. They're generally the people that aren't really very good behind it all. Because it's like, I always think of it as, it's like having power or money. If you need to tell people you have either of those things, then you don't have it. You either are or you aren't. If you have to tell people you are, then you aren't doing it. You're trying to broadcast something you aren't. So having her really has focused me on get your shit together, look after yourself, look after your body, look, eat clean, compound those good habits, look after your mind, because you want to be the example. And that's how I think about parenting, and that's how I've kind of evolved my thinking, is how do I see myself through her eyes? And by seeing myself through her eyes, it makes me hold myself to a better standard as I have ever done before, because I really don't like people who don't walk the walk. They tell people how it should be done, and I have a real problem with people who tell people how it should be done, but then you look at them and you're like, you've never done that in your life. Oh, but yeah, you should do this, but you've never done it. How can you tell people? Like, how could I in 5-6 years time, when Willow's growing up and I'm like, oh, you need to eat better, and you need to, you know, we really should eat healthy and da da da, and she's like, but dad, you don't eat healthy, you eat crap every day, you know, I don't ever see you going to the gym. I want to not lead by example, but I guess it's parent by example, and just show her healthy habits and show her a healthy dad and a healthy mom who look after themselves, look after each other, look after their bodies and their minds. And, you know, it's not a coincidence that over the last 12 months I've changed you'll hear me just rustling pages here to look at my notes. It's about business, body and brain now. That's what the podcast is about, because that's where I'm going as a person, and that's where I want the pod to go, because one without the other, it's not pointless, but you're filling one bucket, but you've got two holes underneath. Like, how often have you heard of people build a great business, work 20 years, and then sell it, and then they're utterly depressed? So, like, you have to have all the three buckets in order if you are going to live, I believe, for me, again, my experience and my experience of talking to, I don't know how many people now, maybe 200 people, interviewing them in depth. You have to have them in order, because at the end, what's it all for? What really is it all for? You need to stop waiting to live and you start enjoying it, because, again, cliche alert, the joy is in the journey, and you need to figure out how you're going to equip yourself every day to enjoy that journey, because otherwise you might get to the destination and realize you're heading in the wrong direction all the time. So that's it. I'll wrap it up there, because we're now approaching 25 minutes, and that is a long podcast for anybody to do solo. Hope you enjoyed that. It's something very different. It's something that I really didn't want to speak about, but I hope it's been interesting, at least made you think maybe, and hopefully it's helped one person, because that's really all it is about, is just if one person's listening and they're like, okay, that's helped me, or that's going to help me understand where I am right now. That's what it's all about. So thank you for listening. If you made it all the way to the end, thank you very much. I will see you back here in a couple of days for normal programming. We'll resume. We have an incredible 300th episode. I think that's what gave me the confidence to do this podcast as well, is that we have 300 episodes coming up tomorrow. And that makes me incredibly proud, and it makes me incredibly grateful to have achieved that and have got here, and to now be looking to the future going, imagine what episode 3000 is going to look like. I'll see you back here in a couple of days.